Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny DiMarello.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host.
Yeah, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, kitty, kitty.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Chatter, chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Patting pockets. We take the dollar, dollar. Can't a damn soul stop it. Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets, here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevated to claim my own throne. Success in my blood, call it homegrown. Towards Rican testosterone. Power and money got me crazy cocky. No longer need you, poppy. I know you're mad because you can't stop me. And if you wonder how this player done scooped your honey, I think she...
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
That is I, and this is where I now go, hey, do you know why we played that music?
Because... we're money tonight.
Yes, but no.
No?
No.
I thought we were always money.
We are always money, but there's a different reason why I played the song, plus I like it. That has
yeah, well, you know, besides that it's an awesome song, and it's Shane, and
well,
we miss you, Shane.
Today's Shane McMahon's 45th birthday.
Happy birthday, Shane!
So that's why I figured, hey, let's play Shane's music on his birthday, because why not?
As opposed to playing him happy birthday, because, you know, we don't really know him.
We don't really know him, so this is our way of saying, happy birthday, Shane, because we know you're listening because you're a big Seth Rollins fan.
Exactly. Oh, wait, that's right. Yeah, joining us in just a little bit, we are going to be having Mr. Money in the Bank. Got a twofer for the song. Seth Rollins, he will be talking to us all about... well, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and so much more. So you want to definitely tune in and listen to that. But before we get to Mr. Rollins, we have news we have to jump into, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And, well, we're going to be talking about SmackDown a little bit later.
Yes, we're going to do the highs and lows of SmackDown later on in the program.
So we can't start with that news, but, well, I think we have to start with the other big announcement, which is Tough Enough's coming back.
Yeah, yeah. It was reported today that at one of those conference thingies, one of the head guys for the USA Network said, oh, yeah, we're bringing back Tough Enough. Wait, what?
Wait, what? Yeah, it's like, wait, what?
And it's really, really actually true. It's going to happen. Tough Enough is making its return to the USA Network. And they're going to be doing things just a little bit differently this time around. USA Network President Chris McCumber has announced that groundbreaking WWE reality series Tough Enough will be returning to television on the USA Network. I am pleased to announce USA is bringing back Tough Enough, the action-packed competition reality show from the ratings juggernaut WWE. McCumber said in a speech today, during the Television Critics Association's winter press tour, you say that five times fast, the show will have a completely new format with live elements that will truly make this event television. After signing another multi-year deal with for Raw and SmackDown, this is the perfect time to bring back the series and capitalize on the enormous audience appeal of sports entertainment. Stay tuned to WWE.com for more details as they are revealed. So, probably a bit of social media, probably some live voting.
I'm okay with this.
It's going to be a whole entertainment extravaganza known as Tough Enough. It's cool. It's awesome. Wonder if Stone Cold's coming back for it.
Could be. You know, one of the problems that I kind of had with the second incarnation was it was a little too reality-based, if that makes sense.
Actually, that would be the third incarnation. Because we had the Million Dollar Tough Enough, which was the second.
Yeah, I don't really count that one.
Hey, it's given us The Miz.
It did give us The Miz, yes. But I will say that. But
he actually lost that one. Daniel Puter won that one. God, that was an awful choice. Anyway, continue.
Well, you know, the real winner won in the end, so...
He did, because he's awesome. And you can listen to an interview with, you know, The Miz on RackRadioShow.com. A couple interviews, actually.
Shameless.
I know.
But one thing that I really liked about the first Tough Enough that the third one, I should say, was lacking was that we didn't see so much training as it was all this hokey reality kind of stuff.
Right. Though the intense moment with Steve Austin and the people, holy crap on a crap stick, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That part was awesome. But no, the original Tough Enough, which, by the way, is available on the WWE Network. First season, first 13 episodes are on the network for only $9.99. We'll get more into the network in a bit. I watched the first one. It was like, holy crap, that girl's name Jessica. Wait, she's one dirt. Wait, that was ODB. She made the top 25 in the first ever Tough Enough. I forgot all about that.
Right?
It's like, oh, she tried out for that. Oh, right. Right. It threw me off completely. Anyway, sorry, go back to your point.
No, but I liked how you got to see more of the wrestling. I liked how you got to see how they actually train and what they have to actually go through, as opposed to, you know, trying to do stuff on roller skates or, you know, do an obstacle course or whatever it was that they did. They kind of lost me on those aspects of it because I'm really more interested in seeing how everyone gets trained, what they go through, and how hard it really is.
Right, and while the original Tough Enough had some of those elements, that was just one day. The rest of the focus of the days were training. You actually got to see them do the basics of the basics. I remember the biggest story arc in the first season, Tough Enough, with Josh Matthews climbing that top rope and wanting to finally do that moonsault. And Al Snow was kept not letting him do it. And then he finally let him did it. Bam, it was great television.
Oh, yeah. I loved how when they would have the talent come in and actually help train them. Mm-hmm. Like, you had Hunter show up. Mm-hmm. I think Taker did one, didn't he?
I think so. I think it was season two.
I think he was on season two. But they would have people come. Like, I know the Hardys were on it because they brought people in, you know, who were high flyers, and they taught them how to do different type of wrestling styles. And they would bring the talent in off the road and have them work with those people. And they did that on the third incarnation of Tough Enough, but it's like they were just kind of there as a visitor and an observer and didn't really help them train.
That we saw. We didn't see.
That we saw.
Right. They could have been doing all that, but we just never got that. It lacked some of that. While the intensity was there with Austin and the people, you lost some of the essence that was Tough Enough.
Yeah. So, have to see how this one goes and where they take it, but yay, Tough Enough's back.
Right, and originally Tough Enough was going to come back and they were going to do it at the Performance Center for the WWE Network, but due to budget cuts for the network, they had to pull it back. So this is where, okay, we now have it on it. We sold it to the network. So this show is going to make money now. It's not, here's out of pocket, we're going to spend money, not really making money. Now the show is going to make money so we can do it again.
There you go. That's what you want.
That's what you want out of it. They sold it to the network. That's how you roll. And it'll eventually end up back on the network, probably, in replay form. But first airing probably on, will be on the USA Network, which is cool. I'm looking forward to it, probably this summer, probably, or the fall, or whatever it is. Can't wait. Should be fun.
Can't wait. And speaking of can't wait, the other big news this week, which really doesn't need too much of an introduction because, well, we saw it on Raw and on SmackDown tonight, is that the long-awaited induction of Randy Savage into the Hall of Fame is finally going to happen this year. And this is the point where everybody in the wrestling community lost their you-know-what.
Oh, yeah, dig it.
Yeah, everybody got super excited because, hey, here comes the Savage induction, and I say it's well-deserved.
Oh, without question, and coming up here in a bit, Seth Rollins gives his opinion on Macho Man Randy Savage going into the WWE Hall of Fame as well, so that's a little teaser for you. But yeah, it's cool. Randy's going in. Hogan's going to be the one to induct him, and, you know, you hear different things that, you know, were they friends before that he passed away, and supposedly they've made up, so it's like, okay, cool, so it'll be interesting. No idea who's accepting for Randy Savage, but we know Hogan's inducting. So
I would imagine it's probably someone from his family.
Probably Lanny will probably accept the award, because last year we really didn't get many people who were going to be, you know, we didn't get all the details. Like when Paul Bearer put in, we didn't know who was inducting him or whatever, and it turned out to be Kane and his sons accepted, and then, you know, the street guy, The Undertaker,
Showed up.
You know, the man who was 21-0 at WrestleMania.
Shh. He's still 21-0.
That's what I said. The man who is 21-0. That's what I said.
It didn't happen.
Right.
It totally didn't happen. Denial is an amazing thing.
He showed up. He showed up at the Hall of Fame and then went back to Texas. That's all he did. I don't, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's never. Well, you know, technically in his mind, he probably still is 21-0 because I don't think he remembers the match. So.
No, I don't. I don't think he remembers the match. No.
Poor guy.
Right.
Whacked his head, but yeah. So it should be interesting to see who accepts for Macho. Was he? He was married when he passed away, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
And his wife survived the wreck, right?
Yeah, she did.
So maybe his wife accepts for him.
Possibly.
I mean, it just kind of depends. I think there's a lot more speculation on who's going to do the actual acceptance over, obviously, who's going to do the induction, because we know who's doing the induction.
Right, we know who's doing the induction. It's sort of trying to figure out, oh, hey, you know.
Who will accept on Savage's behalf? So we'll have to see who else joins Savage this year in the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of speculation right now. Maybe that street guy will go in. Maybe he won't. If that street guy does go in, then I'm going to have to fly to San Fran. Crap. Don't put him in WWE. Not this year. Dallas is a lot closer. Shorter flight. Way shorter flight.
Shorter, less expensive flight. Yeah.
But speaking of flights and speaking of moving things, well, it came out that SummerSlam might be moving locations?
Yeah. So the Izod Center in New Jersey is shutting down at the end of January because all the major sports teams have moved to different arenas. So the state is like, we don't have the money to, you know, fund this building anymore, so we're going to shut it down.
Okay, then. So
with that, everything, you know, events that were scheduled for February, March are going to be moved probably to the Prudential Center or other buildings. And, you know, SummerSlam in August is now up in the air. Where is it going to go? What's going to happen? And it's sort of like, yeah, so they have to find a new home. And, and yeah, so that's sort of what's going to transpire there. They voted on it today. That's officially closing. And now WWE has to figure out whether we're going to go to Prudential Center, whether we're going to go to the Barclays in Brooklyn or Madison Square Garden, trying to figure it out there.
Well, I know they always have a landing spot in Madison Square Garden because they're essentially helping to keep that building open right now. So
No, that's not true. You got the New York Knicks. They're rolling. They're not very good. You got the Rangers. They may be doing something good.
Really? Really? You're taking shots? You can't take shots at Dallas anymore, so you're going to take shots at New York?
Yeah. What? I'm not allowed to take shots? Hey, let's talk about this. We're gonna bring this knowledge into it. Okay, we're gonna take shots at the Knicks because guess what? They paid $100 million for Carmelo Anthony, right?
I have no idea who that is, but okay.
Black guy, basketball player, great player. The Sixers aren't paying crap for anyone. Have a very low pay for all, basically tanking. The Sixers are doing better than the Knicks, who have 5 wins, and they have $100 million payroll. And the Sixers have like a $30 million payroll and have 7 wins. So I could take a shot at the Knicks. Just saying.
Okay.
I'm allowed to, you know. Hey, how about them Cowboys? They pulled one out.
Been waiting for him to take that shot for like 3 days. You happy now? You feel better?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. Well done. Thank you. Thank you for segue. I wasn't even going to bring up Dallas, but you brought him up, so, well, you know. Might as well. She knows what she's doing.
I can just, like, you know, lead him right in.
It's the brain thing.
It's the brain thing. One brain.
One damn brain. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. This is Summer's name. So, they're scrambling. They're going to come up with a location. Probably we'll have an announcement here very soon. They have an event, at the Izod Center, which will probably now be the last WWE event at the Izod Center on the 23rd of this month. So they're probably going to do a hard push for SummerSlam there. So now they got to come up with a plan B.
Well, I'm sure they always have a plan B.
Yeah, and he's coming up in about 15 minutes on the rack.
Yeah, he is. So, but speaking of plan Bs, another huge announcement. There's a lot of them this week. And actually, this was last week because, you know, I had family emergency. Sorry about that, guys. See, we're making up for it with Seth Rollins.
And we had Alicia Fox. Go back and listen to it.
Yeah, and we have Alicia Fox last week.
And we have a big announcement for next week coming up later in the show.
Yeah, we do.
Slobber knocking good. Anyway, continue on.
Is that finally the WWE Network is coming to the UK.
Woohoo!
As of Monday, January 19th, the network will go live for subscribers in the UK. But an interesting twist on this is that seems to doubt that Sky Sports has the exclusive rights to Main Event. Is that right?
That is indeed correct. They have the exclusive rights to Main Event, which means it will no longer air on the WWE Network. It's going to probably become UK only.
Bastards.
I've been actually enjoying watching Main Event on Tuesday, and now it's just probably going to become UK only since they cannot geo-block the network, which I think the original idea was when they gave them the rights to Main Event. They were going to have a UK stream and a regular stream, but everything is going on one stream at the moment. And they have to pull Main Event, and yeah, it's gonna be off. It's gonna be off, and as of now, they're gonna try to get it back on the network. But right as of now, they have no idea when it will come back to the network. Essentially, the one from Tuesday night was the final network episode of Main Event for a while. They hope to have it done in 2 weeks, but knowing them, it probably won't be done. It probably won't be done for a while because when you sign a contract, you gotta live up to the deal, and the WWE is trying to set up geo-blocking or make a second feed for the UK, but that could take till the summer, so Main Event may be off till the summer on the network, which kind of sucks, because it's actually interesting to watch on a Tuesday night, because they sort of do some things, not often, but they do some stuff. It'll be interesting to see what that show becomes. It may just become like another Superstars, essentially. So we'll see what WWE does and how they handle it from here on out. But yeah, so the network launch, it's a little bit more expensive in the UK. I believe it's like $15.99 US, how it converts. Something to that effect, but that's just the way it is. But they get their network, UK and Ireland, they got it. It's up and running. It's sort of up and running on some platforms. It's going to be available on all platforms starting on Monday. So go sign up by the network for $9.99 or whatever is locally in your area. Because it's awesome. You get the Royal Rumble for only $9.99. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Definitely want to check it out.
And our replacing main event this week on the network will be Santino's Royal Rumble Lottery Special. It's basically going to probably be highlights of past Royal Rumbles, which I've been watching a lot of on the network as background fodder. Watching old Rumbles is actually kind of cool. It's like, oh, that's kind of awesome. I remember when that happened, and yeah. Oh, and the other thing about this, this is nothing to do with anything other than stuff on the network. They don't have the rights to the Honky Tonk Man song.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they played a generic version of his song. They redubbed it for the old school Raw I was telling you about when I was watching. They redubbed it. It's like, really? Really? They redubbed it with a non-version of his song. They don't have that over the Don't Go Messing with the Country Boy song. The Hillbilly Jim song. They don't have that either. I guess they were done by the same person, I think.
Probably.
So they don't have either song in it. And that's kind of disappointing because those are two iconic songs. And it's like, now you... Go ahead.
I thought Jim Johnston had written those.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he did. I think it's somebody else. I'll have to go actually research that.
Speaking of people who need to go in the Hall of Fame, Jim Johnston, good lord.
Yeah.
Put that man in.
Right? That would, you know, that would be kind of amazing if he actually got to go in the Hall of Fame, because he deserves it. He's produced some of the greatest entrance musics in the history of the wrestling music business.
Yeah, I mean, he's made so many iconic themes, and it's like, WWE would not be what it is without him. It really wouldn't have. I mean, yeah, you can say that they could have found any composer to do what he did. I don't think so.
No, they really couldn't.
Because think about it. He's been on staff for WWE for, like, what, 30 years?
Something to that effect. I think Rick Derringer is the one who produced that song, so I don't think they have the right to his songs, and I think he did Honky Tonk Man as well.
Well, that would explain it.
That would explain it. This is where we do live research on the air, you know.
To the Google!
To the Google and the Wikipedias. But, yeah, so, yeah, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, without question. Without question.
Johnston for Hall of Fame, 2015.
Or 16, or 17, or 18, whenever he gets in. But, yeah.
Get it trending, along with hashtag Save Rowan.
Which we'll talk about later in this show. We have a lot to get into on this show.
We do. So we need to wrap up the news. Quick note, congratulations to Christy Hemme. She gave birth this past week.
Yeah,
last week.
Last Wednesday, she gave birth to a baby girl, I believe. So congratulations, Christy Hemme and her husband, on that one. So there you go.
Very good for them.
It was very interesting. Like, she gave birth, and yet she the professional she is. They had her voice over a bunch of entrances, introductions for the Impact show last week, because you heard the ring introductions, but you didn't see her. It's very interesting. Anyway, continue.
Good for her.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Christy, and her husband.
Yes.
Which we don't know his name.
I don't know it off the top of my head, no.
No. And speaking of babies and going on the road, Hunter is taking his baby on the road with him as NXT is following him. He's going to be inducted into the Arnold Classic International Sports Hall of Fame. And, well, he's deciding to showcase NXT, and he's taking it with him. So NXT will be doing its first show outside of the Southeast on March 5th with an event at the LC Pavilion in Columbus, Ohio. It's a Thursday night show, and like I said, it's part of the Arnold Classic weekend where hundreds of thousands of tourists are in the city. So, yeah, and we're not talking the crummy... Any old NXT roster is going, like Hideo is going, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor,
Sami Zayn, Charlotte, Sasha, they're all going,
like, you know, I'm actually kind of halfway considering trying to get to this show to see it, because, yeah, I actually, if you've never seen Finn Balor in the States, you've never seen Hideo Itami in the States, because I don't think they've been here before.
No, not on a regular touring basis, no.
Here's your chance.
Yes. And Charlie Patterson is Christy Hemme's spouse's name.
Oh. Congratulations, Christy and Charlie.
There you go. Google.
It's a wonderful thing. But yeah, so very interesting that Hunter is taking NXT with him as he goes into the Hall of Fame.
He's showcasing his boys and girls. That's what he does. He's showcasing off his kids. Hey, why not? Have fun with it. Go out and see them.
You know, he's super proud of it, and he should be. I mean, NXT is an amazing product, and they've got some wonderful talent down there right now. You could argue that NXT's got some of the best talent in the world.
Oh, you really, really, really good. They have some of the most up-and-coming talent in the world. And you want to know who also likes NXT talent?
Seth Rollins?
Yeah, he does, and he tells you all about it in the interview coming up, like, next.
Right, so, well, I guess that's my cue that we're done with the news.
Well, there's, what else is there to talk about?
Well, we could talk about Bray Wyatt for 20 minutes.
Do you really want to drag the interview out any longer? Haven't the people waited long enough?
Yeah, I guess they've been good. I guess we can go ahead and give them the interview. So, alright, y'all, when we come back, we are going to be joined by the one, the only Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! Jason St. Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moment.
Case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins got a piece of salty Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Joining us right now is the man who brought the Authority back to both Raw and SmackDown, which is moving to Thursday nights on Sci-Fi. Everyone, please welcome to The Rack, Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Very good. We're happy to be talking to you. So my first question, we have to talk about last night, because you had a pretty big night last night. You got to curb stomp both John Cena and Brock Lesnar on Monday Night Raw. How did that feel?
It felt real good. Those big nights you're referring to, they're starting to pile up a little bit here and there. I'm starting to have them more and more and more. And last night, surely Raw, standing over both John Cena and the WWE World Heavyweight Champion Brock Lesnar, is a feat that, honestly, I don't think there are any other men can say that they've done that. I might be the only one in the history of WWE, so that's quite monumental.
It is quite monumental. And speaking of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, are you in the match? You are in the match for the Royal Rumble. Are you, ready to seize the opportunity and win your first title? Or are you going to maybe sort of wait and rely more on your money in the bank?
No, my strategy for this match is to go in full bore, 100%, 110%, whatever you want to call it, and try to win the match. If things don't work out and, I don't end up winning, the odds are against me for sure, I have backup plan. I always have plan B, and that is my Money in the Bank briefcase. It's an unprecedented situation. I don't think in the history of the Money in the Bank briefcase and contract, you've had a scenario where the champion or the challenger has had two opportunities essentially to win the title. So it should be a very interesting Royal Rumble. I think the fans are going to, I think they're going to be on the edge of their seats the whole time.
Well, I certainly hope so. I know I'm excited for it. I know my producer's excited for it as well. So, when you win the World Heavyweight Championship, which we all know you're going to do, we have every confidence in you. and you go to WrestleMania this year, do you have anybody in mind that you'd like to defend against?
Well, no.
No?
Not really. I mean, if I go in as the WWE champion, I could really care less who my opponent is. Whoever wins the Royal Rumble, I suppose, would be the man there. That in itself is a difficult task to beat 29 other superstars and climb the mountain, so to speak. But if you ask me for a preference, no, I don't really have a preference about who's butt I'm going to kick at WrestleMania.
Okay. So, well, I have to know, kind of transitioning back out. What was it like for you to work with both Triple H and Stephanie McMahon over the last few months on TV?
They're phenomenal. Two of the greatest minds in the history of our industry. You got one who was, born and bred a McMahon, so she knows everything there is to know about what we do, and she knows all the little tricks of the trade, and she sees things from a completely different perspective. So you have that, and then on the other end, you have the cerebral assassin, the man who's been, WWE champion multiple times, who's clearly the heir apparent to the company itself, and he's already running the ship for the most part. So, there's really no better mentors. If you're not learning something every single day, every time you go out there, then you're really just making a mistake. Trying to progress yourself. So, if people have kept track over the last 6, 7, 8 months, they've really, I think, noticed, a lot of improvements in my game, at least I have, and a lot of that is due to Triple H and Stephanie being on my side and coaching me all the way through.
So it has to be a really cool experience because Hunter's kind of been with you from the beginning, hasn't he? Where he was down with you in NXT and then he's sort of followed you up through the Shield and now to this opportunity.
Yeah, man, the man clearly has an eye for talent, you know. it's been good, you know. NXT was a good experience for me. We were the first kind of group of guys who were involved in that project, and if you look at what it's become now, it's pretty impressive to think about where it started and how it began very humbly in a warehouse in Tampa, and now it's basically its own brand. And to have, you know, Triple H support through and through the entire way has, meant more to me than I think people ever understand. And it's really helped position me where I want to be and helped me grow as a person and as a performer.
Now, there's a lot of buzz around NXT right now, and certainly you helped to create that buzz. You know, is there anyone down there right now that you're maybe looking forward to facing in the near future when they come up?
I have a lot of friends down there, a lot of people who I traveled the road with in my previous life, and I think that those guys, you know, the Adrian Neville, the Sami Zayn, the Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, Kevin Owens, these are the guys who obviously are making a name for themselves right now in NXT. There's a lot of young guys too who are pushing the envelope as well, really trying to make a name for themselves in the shadow a little bit of some of those bigger names. You know, you got someone like a CJ Parker who's been down in NXT for a while, making waves. You got a Tyler Breeze who's, you know, on the cusp of something big and stuff like that. So there's a lot of talent down there. I'm looking forward to see what the landscape up here in WWE looks like in, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years with all of those names that I mentioned up here working with us. It's going to be a very interesting period for the future of WWE.
It sounds like it. I know I'm super pumped for NXT as well. Now, kind of to talk about SmackDown a little bit, because that's why we're here. You know, for years, SmackDown has been built around certain superstars, from The Undertaker to Edge, you know, who you had an incident with a couple weeks back. With it moving back to Thursday nights, do you see this as an opportunity for yourself to maybe have the show built around you?
I would like to assume that both Raw and SmackDown will be built around me from this day forward, or maybe from the Royal Rumble on forward. I mean, I talk a lot about how the future is now. Well, I'm not the future anymore, you know. The present is upon us, and I'm a major part of that. So SmackDown moving back to Thursday nights where it originally began is really exciting for me, just because that's the night I used to watch it when I was, you know, younger, all the stuff with The Rock and all the other stuff, you know, Edge and Christian and Eddie Guerrero security guard Joey Mercury also played a huge role in SmackDown during that period of time as well. So it's an awesome move. I'm looking forward to kind of, you know, reaching into another night of the week and just seeing what that brings and what that holds for us as far as a company moving forward. It should be good for everybody involved.
Now, do you have a favorite SmackDown moment in particular? Does anything jump out in your mind?
There's a lot of really good ones. I mean, it would be hard-pressed for me not to say one of my own personal favorite moments, me powerbombing The Undertaker through a table. that's pretty iconic as far as, a SmackDown moment gets. But if I'm going to reach back in the vault, I'm going to go probably to the very first SmackDown. The Shawn Michaels super kick on The Rock was pretty awesome. I'm a big Shawn Michaels fan. So, when Rock was going for that people's elbow and Shawn just clocked him right in the tooth, I thought that was pretty sweet.
Now, was that a kind of, when you found out that you were going to get to work with Taker, was that a cool experience for you?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things where, you know, you don't even really think that that's ever going to happen to you in your career. And not because, I expected the level of success I have, but I expected Undertaker to be long gone by the time I, you know, came around. The fact that he was still here is a testament to him. And the fact that we are able to, we in the Shield, I mean, we're able to ascend to that level so quickly and get a chance to be in the ring with him before, you know, he stepped away is pretty awesome. Obviously, he could still be around and maybe there's a WrestleMania match for me and him in the future. But for now, I'll definitely cherish those moments that I got to spend in the ring with him.
Yeah, that had to be an amazing experience. And I'm kind of jealous that you got to do that. Won't lie. Not that right. I would ever get in the ring with him. But
yeah, that might not turn out so well for you.
Yeah, I'm a little small. He probably could just like snap me in half with a finger or something, you know.
So, most likely.
You know, another big moment that happened last night on Raw was Macho Man Randy Savage getting announced to go in the Hall of Fame. It's definitely a long-awaited honor for him. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, my only real thought is it's about damn time. You know, I know there were a lot of issues with getting him into the Hall and stuff like that, but I'm really glad that after all these years, you know, people kind of made the decision that that it was the right thing to do, and there was, I mean, I think everybody knew that. It was just, you know, kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's a little bit, and I think that everybody kind of put their piece of personal pride aside and made it well known that, you know, one of the greatest of all time, the Macho Man, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and it's about time. I'm glad to be involved in it in some way, shape, or form, you know, just to be a part of the company while that happened is pretty cool.
Definitely, and I can't wait to see the induction and the speech when it happens WrestleMania weekend. So I know you're a busy guy. I don't want to hold you up, but I got one more question for you.
Oh, shoot.
What do you like to do on your day off?
Day off? What? What are those?
You don't take day off?
I mean, I don't take them. If I get them, I'll enjoy them, but they're very rare. I mean, honestly, we spend so little time at home that a good day off to me is literally doing absolutely nothing. If I don't have to get up and go run a billion errands or, you know, go to the gym, I really just like to sit in bed and watch movies and play video games and hang out with my fiance and my dog. Like, to me, that's a day off. We just don't have the time to take vacations or, you know, trips or anything like that. So for me, a day off is literally just doing nothing in my sweatpants.
That sounds like the best day off ever.
Yeah.
So, Seth, thank you so much for talking to us today. We greatly appreciate it. Everyone, make sure you catch him on WWE SmackDown now every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sci-Fi. And you want to make sure you stay tuned because coming up, we've got SmackDown, we've got NXT, we've got Tweet of the Week, and so much more. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Living this life, now it's all I know. Like, oh, it's the love I chose. So I be stepped off everywhere I go. Now they're screaming my name after every show. Like, oh. Hey everyone, we here at The Rack need your help. All this week, please go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote for us. It's simple and easy. Just go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and write in The Rack for Show of the Year, Natalya on The Rack for Female Interview of the Year, Michael Kingston on The Rack for Media Interview of the Year, and Kane on The Rack for Male Interview of the Year. It's just that simple. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com right now and vote for us. If you do, I will make you all. Damn it, Rock! Stop telling them I'm going to make them cookies.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm
pick.
Going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I seen him too, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
That's not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matador is one.
Yep, and see, if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The Divas title's on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do?
You do? Brie Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out.
I think you changed to Cancer Rock.
Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming, just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
You're on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action. Stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Everybody take a shot and screwed up the plug.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You did not actually screw up the plug. You thought you screwed up the plug, but you actually got it right. But your mind went, oh, no, I'm going to screw it up.
No, it's – wait, is that right?
Right?
Is that right?
Did I get it right? Did I hit all his plugs correctly? Because, you know, Matt Goldberg has a lot of plugs.
He does. He does have a lot of plugs. He's a busy guy.
Yeah, he has a podcast, something or other, coming out here in the next month or so, I think, something to that effect, called The Figure Mark or something like that. You can probably check it out on YouTube and on Twitter, The Figure Mark, you know, that sort of thing.
Check it out, because it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome, and we have to send a huge thank you to WWE and Seth Rollins for appearing on the show this evening.
We do. We do thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to talk to Seth. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I know we did.
We most certainly did. But here's the thing, Lindsay.
There's more?
There is more, because, you know, last week on this show, on the pre-taped version of the show that we put out last weekend, because we weren't live last week, we had, you know, WWE Diva Alicia Fox, right?
Right.
This week, we came back live, and we had, you know, Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, right?
Right.
Well, I got news for everyone for, next week on the show. You know that music. I think everybody knows that music.
We're talking to Oklahoma State?
No, not Oklahoma State. No. Boomer Sooner himself, the Oklahoma fan himself, good old JR, Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, will be on the program next week. He's got some stuff to talk about, and we're going to talk to him next week. He's a live show coming up on January 23rd in New Jersey and on the 25th in Philadelphia. Go to AXS.com for ticket information. Ringside, an evening with Jim Ross, and Ringside, an afternoon with Jim Ross. Tickets now available at AXS.com for that. We talked to him about that and a lot more. It'll air next week on The Rack.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to talk to him. Can't wait for everybody to hear it. He told some great stories. He gave some great insight. Everyone, you definitely, definitely want to tune in next week for JR. Don't want to miss it. And yes, Acer, there are some epic interviews on The Rack.
We've had some epic interviews coming up and has happened on this show. Yes, Jim Ross, we'll finish off the month of epic interviews right here on the show. So be looking.
And then we're taking a break.
Yeah, we're taking a break for as long as the break lasts. So yeah.
Right? Until, you know, Rock decides to book us more interviews because, you know, when it rains, it pours, which is awesome.
It is awesome. So, yeah, Jim Ross next week on the show. And for those people who love New Japan and Wrestle Kingdom 9, we get insight from him on the show next week. So there you go.
There you go. So now we're going to talk about tonight's exciting SmackDown, the rechristening of SmackDown on Thursday nights. I don't know what you would call it because it's technically not the maiden voyage. The re-debut, there we go, of SmackDown on Thursday nights. And good Lord, they tried to break my heart on this show.
Now, going back to the interview really quickly, Seth Rollins brought up that moment with his favorite, and it was like, I love that moment where Sean super kicked The Rock. It's awesome. It's one of the great moments. It's available on the WWE Network right now. You can go back and watch it. They've been promoting it. It's fun to go watch back, and they have the pilot episode and the actual first episode of SmackDown up on the network. It's very interesting to watch. But yeah, SmackDown tonight. Team Hell No was all over this show. Yeah. That's the best way to put it in a nutshell. Team Hell No exploded early and often on Thursday Night SmackDown.
It broke my heart. It really did. The Canyon feelings. Oh my gosh. I forgot that I didn't have to suffer through them while Daniel Bryan was out. Now that Daniel Bryan is back, I have to suffer through them. No! Bad enough with Eric, not Canyon, please. Anything but Canyon. I just want them to get back together and hug it out. Please, just stop fighting each other.
The anger buddies, you know, continue to, well, no longer be buddies. But if you have seen these pictures that are coming out in Daniel Bryan's book with the two of them.
They're so cute. It's like, God damn it, get back together, both of you. Now, do it.
Right. SmackDown tonight opened up with, actually, Daniel Bryan. He talked about Team Hell No. They went from being best of brothers to now, well, enemies again, as they talked about how Bryan got put out of action for 9 months, thanks to Kane and his tombstones. And Daniel Bryan vowed that he's, you know, gonna come back. He's ready to fight. You know, he doesn't know how his body will react, but he's ready to fight, and the only way to do it is by getting in the ring. And, well, he plans on going to WrestleMania to become the next WWE champion. As he was getting into his groove, the Authority came out, and which was interesting to see Kane walk out to Triple H's music.
Yeah.
For a match, it was like, oh, okay.
A little weird,
but we had the match. It was a good match. Daniel Bryan came. It was a good match.
I would say so. It was heartbreaking for me, but, you know.
Heartbreaking for her, but it was good overall. Daniel Bryan won via disqualification when all the goons of the Authority jumped in and it caused a disqualification. Bryan escaped the Authority, and, well, the Authority was coming after him, but he had some backup, didn't he?
He did, in the form of Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, he really sort of... he had his backup, and it was cool. It was like, oh, hey, they used to be with the Shield, right? You know,
Ambrose. The Shield? Oh, that was so long ago. I'm not sure I remember it.
It's like a year ago. They were like a group together or whatever. So it was like, yeah, okay, cool. They were together. And, yeah, so we had that. And it was, I pointed this out, and I put this out on what's it called, Twitter. It got an interesting response. People amaze me sometimes on the internet. But Daniel Bryan looking like Shawn Michaels a little bit?
Just a little bit. I still say he's wrestling Jesus, but yeah. I would say, yeah. Starting to look like Shawn Michaels from the back.
In certain, when you see
crazy.
Sound. Anyway, when you see him in certain forms, he actually looks like Shawn Michaels a little bit, especially with the ponytail little looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool. Triple H then made a match for later on in the evening, which would be a 6-man tag team extravaganza. Which we'll get.
Holla player.
Really? Really? We're gonna go holla player, really? Well, I guess
it's in SmackDown tradition.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It is SmackDown tradition to have holla players, Teddy Long making a tag team match. I guess that makes sense. I guess. So yeah, we had that, which was a nice way to, you know, open up the new era of SmackDown, I guess is the best way to put it.
Hey, if you're gonna do it right.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, if you're gonna do it, you open it with you know, Daniel Bryan and Kane, and you go from there. And sort of when you say you go from there, you gotta sort of talk about, well, one of Lindsay's favorite people. And who's one of your favorite people?
Bray Wyatt.
He was on this show tonight a little bit, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He talked, and Boo Boo is so confident about winning the Royal Rumble. Oh, honey, if only, but no.
No. You don't think Bray Wyatt has a chance?
I think he has a chance, but I think someone's coming for him. I think the bell's about to toll for Bray Wyatt.
The bell's about to toll for Bray Wyatt.
And his mystical, magical, evil lantern.
Well, let's hear from Bray Wyatt, shall we?
I'm not a human being. I am an ideology. I am the forbidden fruit. I am the cure. And for thousands of years, your society labels things like me as a threat. But you can only contain a poison of this caliber for so long before it starts to seep out of the cracks and it starts to contaminate everything that they hold precious. They were right. And after I win the Royal Rumble, man, it will be too late to run. Accept your fate and follow the buzzards.
Boo Boo is so confident. I don't think Boo Boo knows what's coming for him, if it's true.
We had an interesting intergender 6-person tag. The Usos and Naomi took on Ms. Alicia Fox and Ms. Dow, which saw the bad guys pick up the win.
After they cheated a little bit.
A little bit of shenanigans. And what was Roman Reigns cut a promo, and it was better than the one from Raw, because that was the whole fairy tale.
That was special.
It was very, very special in that aspect. So he did a better job, and then we had Paul Heyman, and he was actually pretty good tonight. Well, it's Paul Heyman, but he was pretty good tonight.
He and Seth have a chemistry together.
Yeah, they do. They really sort of do.
And Seth got all up in Paul Heyman's personal space, which was awesome. And Paul is really never better when he's either being a cocky asshole or he's being a coward. A sniveling coward, I should add.
Yeah.
And tonight he's being a sniveling coward.
And I would assume he was also a strategic coward as well. The way he was throwing some stuff out there. And, you know, he talked about how, you know, authority and power, and, you know, Rollins was starting to beat him up, and he was like, you know, I control the champion, but eventually I just can control the beast and maybe protect the future. Like,
Don't do it, Seth. It's the kiss of death. Don't become a Paul Heyman guy. It only works out for Brock. Ever.
Yeah, and Paul Heyman talked about how also the authority could be out of power at any time. They, you know, they lost it a few weeks ago. They could lose it again. Seth Rollins could have been tempting fate.
He could have been.
So good promo there. Natty took on Nikki Bella. Solid match. Natty ended up beating Nikki when Rhea had the ref distracted, trying to, you know, help Nikki, but then Paige slapped Nikki, and then she tapped out to the sharpshooter. Wade Barrett retained the Intercontinental Championship. Solid match. He beat Sin Cara to retain the belt. Dean Ambrose had an interesting promo. How, you know, nobody tells him what to do. He just goes out there and he does it.
Till Roman yells at him and tells him what to do, and then he does it.
Well, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. That's what happens when they just go, oh yeah, we're just going to, it just sort of happens. And then that led to our main event. The Authority versus Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose. Really good six-man tag.
Again, they broke my heart.
Lots of back and forth and lots of Lindsay screaming, Kane, no. Bryan, no.
Yeah, Daniel, no. Daniel, you get off him, Daniel, right now. Kane, no. God damn it, why can't they just hug it out? Like,
hug it out. Hug it. Well, Dr.
Shelby would be so upset right now.
I still remember that awkward segment they did on Raw where they had to go out there and fill 10 minutes of trying to hug. It was one of the most awkward things, but it was one of the greatest pieces of television you ever seen.
Yeah, basically it's, well, we know what they're going to vote for, so just go out there and do it. And they're just so awkward about it. And it's like, how do we sell it? And then they finally hug and everybody loses their shit. And it's like, yay, they hugged. Like, you've never seen a group of people get more excited about a hug than you had that night. It's so funny. It's so stupid. But it was so amazing. And that's why it's like it hurts so much that Kane and Daniel Bryan are fighting each other. It's like, no! It's the anger buddies! You can't fight!
They've been breaking your heart all week.
They have been breaking my heart all week.
Hey, that means they're doing something right.
It's wrestling! It always breaks my heart!
Yeah, I know. So, the good guys picked up the victory in this contest. And then Hunter makes an announcement for next week on SmackDown. Yes, we have a match in advance for SmackDown. It's like it's an important show or something, right?
Mm.
Where he books Daniel Bryan versus Kane in a one-on-one rematch from tonight since there was no winner tonight. And, well, the stipulation goes, if Daniel Bryan loses, and this would be 4 days before the Royal Rumble, he would be out of said Royal Rumble.
Oh, the fans would have an aneurysm.
So, can Daniel Bryan beat his former anger buddy partner?
Well, I know the Authority is going to do everything in their power to stop him.
Yes, they will. So tonight was a good addition to SmackDown. It had some importance, which it hasn't in the last couple of weeks, so that's always good. So the focus is returned to Thursday night SmackDown.
I actually kind of forgot it was on. I felt so bad for a minute. I was like, oh my god, it's 8. SmackDown's on. Holy crap. But yeah, I like this episode of SmackDown. I liked how they had the consistency all the way through. Not enough Bray Wyatt on the show, but that's okay.
Once he gets in the direction, then he'll be all over the show again.
Yeah, once he gets his direction, everybody's kind of in the holding pattern until next week when they kick off all the WrestleMania storylines and everything starts to go down. We'll see where Bray Wyatt's going to go. We're going to see where Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns are going to go. Seth Rollins, everybody. Kind of interesting that there was no John Cena on SmackDown.
Yeah, well, I think you don't need him.
You don't need him, but it's still kind of interesting that you're doing a re-debut on Thursday night. You're moving nights, and you don't have your top star on the show. I didn't mind it. I was perfectly happy with the fact that Cena wasn't there, but I just found it very interesting that he was not booked for SmackDown.
I think they're gonna. It's coming. It's a point of we're not trying to build this show around him.
Right. So it's now they're trying to find that person to build SmackDown around. And well, will it be Seth Rollins? Will it be Bray Wyatt? Will it be Dean Ambrose? Roman Reigns?
Daniel Bryan? Who knows?
Daniel Bryan? Nobody knows. So could be Daniel Bryan at this point. But yeah, I just found that interesting. But SmackDown was very enjoyable. I'll be curious to continue to watch it. Not that I don't watch it every week anyway when we're playing Cards Against Humanity, but, you know, this is actually live as opposed to on a replay. And
the first airing, actually, rather.
The first airing, yeah. But yeah, I'm curious to see how it progresses on Thursday nights and what they do with it. Cause yeah, it feels like it's important again. The fact that you had the authority there. At least in Hunter.
In Hunter, yeah. It showed it mattered. And this whole SmackDown recap, it's in transition. We're figuring everything out with it. So it'll change every week. But, you know, back to covering SmackDown. We did a SmackDown preview for a while. Now we're doing the actual review. So that's kind of cool.
Yep. And, well, when we come back, we've got more reviews because we're not done. We still have to talk about NXT from last night because, you know, they moved NXT to Wednesdays because SmackDown moved to Thursdays.
Right.
We have Tweet of the Week.
Hold on.
We have our discussion, which is hashtag Save Rowan.
Hold on. Tweet of the Week is mainly roasting the Cowboys.
Sorry, King Kittens. Sorry. Just so sorry.
I'm not.
Yeah, he's not. So, listen to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today. Ouch, that's hot. How does he do this without burning himself?
I don't know, but there's way too much smoke.
Yeah, there is.
Just do the line.
Oh, right. Right. We're here. Every Thursday night, be a part of the experience known as The Rack. From all of the latest wrestling news, discussions, recaps of NXT and SmackDown, interviews with all of our favorite superstars, and more. Follow the Buzzards to The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everyone, we here at The Rack need your help. All this week, please go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and vote for us. It's simple and easy. Just go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com and write in The Rack for Show of the Year, Natalia on The Rack for Female Interview of the Year, Michael Kingston on The Rack for Media Interview of the Year, and Kane on The Rack for Male Interview of the Year. It's just that simple. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com right now and vote for us. If you do, I will make you all. Damn it, Rock! Stop telling them I'm going to make them cookies.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here
woo.
On WildTalkRadio.com. Woo!
Like, this song makes me go woo all the time. It's amazing. It's an awesome song. One of the best.
It is an awesome song.
One of the best NXT songs out there, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. They did a great job with it. So, as you can tell, we are now getting ready to talk NXT, but before we do NXT, we gotta do Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right. Oh no, you're laughing evilly.
I'm going back to my tweets. It's, yeah.
Oh God. Kane Kittens, I'm sorry. Moms against WWE. John Cena taught me to never give up. This person tweets them and she goes, Mr. Cena gave up on his marriage after he saw a bigger breasted lady darling. Moms against WWE. Herb160 tweets them, but Triple H inspired me to work out and get in better shape. And the response is, did he inspire you to fornicate with your boss's daughter, darling? Corey Graves. Now call me naive, but if you really don't like somebody, wouldn't you try to keep them out of the ambulance? Corey Graves, was that Triple H saying his fist mattered or his watch? I mean, it is a pretty nice watch.
Triple H does have some nice watches.
He does. Dolph Ziggler, hashtag ducks need to phone home. Elliot is running like he's got ET on his bike. Dolph Ziggler, pretty cool of you to invite me to like your at Facebook page. You are now a human at LinkedIn. Match of the Future asks, are you on LinkedIn? Do WWE superstars need to network professionally? To which he responds, just the fired ones, but still no. Somebody else asks, why are you still using a licensed character name owned by the company that terminated you? To which he replies, I own at Heel Ziggler. North Korea publicly denies being behind Sony's hack, demands U.S. provide evidence. We watch a Bigfoot show. Evidence isn't our thing.
And who tweeted that?
Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
Dolph Ziggler. Need gym motivation. Check Twitter for people cutting and pasting motivational quotes. Focus that hatred on your yoga ball. That's all I got.
That's all you got? Okay.
That's all I got. And go.
Dolph Ziggler. Hashtag New Year's resolution. To write more notes, to write more at YouTube comments based on the other posters, not the content of the video. Good New Year's resolution to have. Bob Saget. Sometimes you have to teach your penis to count to 10 before it makes a decision. That is some good advice right there. Not SportsCenter goes. Conversation on the sideline. Big Ben. Coach, I had 3 guys open on that play. Mike Tomlin. We are wearing black men. Big Ben. Oh. Betty F. Fitt White. The selfie stick is not a sex toy? No, it's not. It's a stupid gadget people have invented. So you can actually take selfies. So you can stick it out. You take your little cell phone or your tablet, you put it on the stick thing, and you stick it out. Look, hey, Ma, I'm taking a photo with a bunch of people. We live in a world where we have a selfie stick, people. No. We need to stop. Like Kevin Hart on the Golden Globes with the selfie stick, or People's Choice, whatever it was. I think it was People's Choice. We just need to stop with the selfie stick. Darren Ravel, number one song in the U.S. the last time the Bengals won a playoff game. Phil Collins, Another Day in Paradise. Mike Missinelli. Cowboys fans suffering right now from tight sphincter. And this was back on January 4th. Just putting it out there. Not SportsCenter goes. Breakdown of people watching Dallas versus Detroit. 0.01% Detroit Dallas fans. 0.01% fantasy owners. 0.01% gamblers. The rest, 99.97% people wanting a Tony Romo meltdown. Zoo with Roy. America's team rules don't apply. This is where we're getting into some stuff. Frank Caliendo. Pick up that flag, said Jerry Jones moments ago. Because, you know, he apparently rules all when it comes to penalties. Kevin Cooney. This league will have an answer for a lot of things if that picked up flag gives the game, Dallas the game. And yeah, they had a lot to answer for. Bruce Arthur. Remember when the NFL's VP of officiating was on the Cowboys party bus last year? Huh? Huh? You remember that, everybody? Oh, wait, that sort of gave them the wind out, didn't it? Yeah. Fake John Matt. Crap. We might not get our Packers-Cowboys playoff game. Pick that flag up. NFL to the refs. Fake SportsCenter. At this point, you can't be surprised if the refs turn around while one of the Lions gets hit with a steel chair. Oh, they would have. Robert Flores from ESPN. By God, that's Roger Goodell's music. He's here to make a Vince McMahon announcement. Yeah. Sports Nation. Breaking a penalty on the Cowboys. There was actually a penalty on them. You knew they could actually get one during that game. Fake John Madden. This officiating crew is doing more to lead a team to the playoff victory than Andy Dalton could. Well, that is true. They did lead them a little bit. Bob Brookover. When I'm NFL commissioner, any offensive player who makes a flag motion will be flagged for begging. This needs to happen. A lot of people do it. Andrew Goldstein. New sport. Picked up flag football. Andrew Goldstein. Right about here, Mark Sanchez would throw an interception. Yeah, he probably would have in the Detroit Dallas game. He probably would have. I need to ask you a question before I continue with my tweets.
Okay.
Yay or nay on selfie sticks? Or do you even know what a selfie stick is?
I know what a selfie stick is.
Do they need
Good
to...
Good Lord, I'm not that out of touch.
Do they need to go?
Only if they're being used in dangerous methods.
Okay. I think they're stupid. Anyway, David Lagana. Did Chris Christie just dry hump Jerry Jones? Did I just type that sentence? Yes, you typed that sentence. Katie Nolan. Shout out to Chris Christie using his cleavage to get into the owner's box. Ouch. Three Man Booth. The agenda at the Bella's Brunches must go. Number 1, last meeting's minutes. 2, Daniel Bryan's beard. 3, Nikki and John's relationship. Hashtag Total Divas. Yup, that's how it goes. 3 man booth. The Ascension realizes that you can just go on the WWE Network and see Demolition and Legion of Doom, right? Compare for yourselves. Because a lot of people have. 3 man booth. See? Stairs are dangerous. Hashtag Big Show ruins things. Robbie E. tweeted, I just wiped the snow off my back window by myself. Hashtag real man. Tommy Dreamer responded to that saying, snorting isn't wiping. Fake ESPN. In prep for the divisional playoff game versus Cowboys, Packers trade Julius Peppers, Randall Cobb, and a conditional third-round pick for 2 refs. Rockstar Spud. Don't drink in Mario Kart. Hashtag N64. WWE Creative Humor. WWE Creative Edge. The one benefit to Eric Rowan being fired is he no longer has to try and get through TSA security with a sheet mask in his bag. Hashtag travel wrote woes. Wade Keller. I just realized Jeremy Borah showed more balls tonight than John Cena and the entire WWE babyface crew in the midst of a bully. This is true. Rockstar Spud. Attention, real Josh Matthews was cited in Quiznos. 3 autograph signs. Sign. Man of the people. Update. Real Josh Matthews has set up a merch table next to the soda machine. 8x10 at only $12. No change given. Paige. Is it bad I told someone I'd bite their face if they asked me for another picture while I'm halfway through a squat? No, it's not bad, Paige. It's kind of appropriate. Chad Dukes. This is going to blow your mind, but the Seahawks are punting. Hashtag this game stinks. Katie Nolan. Terrence Williams is now the favorite for Golden Globe for Best Actor. Jason Gay. So weird to see a pass interference flag stay on the ground. Bruce Arthur. That spot made me picture the Dallas Cowboys party bus parked in Dean Blandino's driveway. Yeah. Jeff McClain. The official literally moved the ball back 2 yards after review. That might be the worst spot I've seen in an NFL book game. It was. Frank Caliendo, put that ball back where it was. That's a first down. Jerry Jones on the phone moments ago. Samuel L. Jackson, wow, Jerry Jones' phone must be dead. Ha 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 ha. Elijah Burke, ha ha, call reverse. See, Cowboys fans, what goes around comes around. Pro Football Talk, Dean Blandino apparently didn't have good enough time on the Cowboys party bus. Fake ESPN. Jerry Jones plans to use Cowboys' first-round pick in the 2015 NFL draft on a new referee. Not Bill Walton. Oh, the Cowboys lost a loss of a controversial call by the refs? As Rasheed Wallace would say, the ball don't lie. Dolph Ziggler. Actresses making their ugh, so football's a thing tweets. I don't go to work where you work, and haha, just kidding. I eat out loud. Breaking. Peyton Manning's career to be featured during tonight's In Memoriam montage at the Golden Globes. Peyton Manning just tried to pass the torch to Andrew Luck, but it landed at his feet. Ouch. Kate Nolan, after seeing how uncomfortable the stars of the 50 Shades of Grey were while presenting, I sure can't wait to watch them have violent sex with one another. Kate Nolan, what? Excuse me, the Lego movie got robbed? I'm done with this trash sham mockery. Done, I say. WWE Creative Humor. And WWE Bray Wyatt just showed Roman Reigns how to deliver a nursery rhyme. Hashtag Raw Tonight. And, well, someone tweeted Natty the following. Nat by Nature was looking happy when Real Paige WWE slapped Kid WWE. Why? She responded, well, Kid WWE and I like that sort of thing. We dig it. A lot.
Okay, then.
And that's how we end Tweet of the Week with, what is Natty into?
Apparently TJ likes to be slapped around.
Hey-o. That was really
fact.
Fact.
Where's the sounder?
I was trying to do other things. What? You want to say?
Damn it, you're supposed to have this ready.
I was trying to switch the graphic on the screen. God. So demanding, I swear to God. Anyway, just move on. I was trying to do things.
Well, speaking of Mr. Fact and Mrs. Fact, we need to talk about NXT.
And that, well...
Fact!
That is a fact.
There we go.
There you go. You happy now you got the facts out there?
Yes.
Okay, so, speaking of Tyson Kidd, he was in the opening contest of tonight's edition of NXT, or last night's edition. Rather, that's weird to say. It was on a Wednesday. Watched it today, though, because I tried watching it last night, and the feed crapped out on me. So, this week's edition of NXT featured Finn Balor and Tyson Kidd in the opening contest. They had a highly competitive match. Since it was Woman Crush Wednesday yesterday, right? That's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. Renee, you like to give hers. Who do you think it is?
Oh, it's Joey Mercury.
Exactly. Alex Riley was concerned that Tyson Kidd was obsessed with his cat, since he dedicated his match to his cat Charlotte this week. Because, you know, you can't tell by everything that's on his, you know, tights and boots and everything. It's all dealing with cats. Can't, you know, get away from that.
It's, I'm sorry, it's creepy.
It is kind of creepy. Now, we're going back into the vault right now, and we're going to listen to something, then we're going to discuss it, because we need to talk about this. So, before we get back to the match, we're going to listen to this.
Questions for me? I can answer them.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did want to congratulate you on the newest season of Total Divas.
Oh, thank you. I do cry a lot on the show, but yeah. It's good to let it out, you know.
When did you last check on my cats?
Our cats?
Well, when they're sick, I'm the one chewing the food, you know, and feeding them mouth to mouth, so that makes them a little bit more my cats than yours.
Okay, first of all, that's just weird. That's what mama birds do with baby birds, and you're not a bird, the last I checked. But...
I just have a big match next week. I'm just trying to get everything clear.
Okay.
Tyson. Line, no, wrong. Oh, God, why? Don't be a scary cat person, Tyson. Just don't do it.
Everyone just needed to hear that. Anyway.
I could have gone my whole life without hearing that. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I heard it. You had to hear it. I'm a sharer. So I had to share with you and
the
people. So they had a good match. Finn Balor won with the double stomp from the top rope. Good match. Good opening contest. Gave him some time.
Mm-hmm. Balor's working his angles out, which is good. And still kind of miss the face paint, but he's kind of growing on me a little bit.
He's improving every week.
Mm-hmm.
Then we heard from Bull.
Bull, the past couple weeks, you've had some pretty intense encounters with an undefeated Baron Corbin. And tonight, finally, you're going to face him. What can we expect out of that match?
First things first, Baron Corbin isn't the only undefeated superstar in this match. It's going to be a quick fight. If you even want to call it a fight, I like to call it Baron Corbin's end of days. You want to know what to expect to see? You can expect to see Baron Corbin laying on his back, looking up at the last of a dying breed. And the last thing he's gonna hear is Bull! Bull! Bull.
One too many bulls. Wyatt Lovechild, one too many bulls.
Cause, yeah, that wasn't the last thing he actually heard.
No.
So we had Baron Corbin versus Bolt Dempsey. This was a brawl between both men, inside, outside of the ring. It was just an all-out brawl.
Which is what it needed to be. You just needed to have these two go. It wasn't the best I've ever seen. It wasn't the worst.
Sure, it wasn't the worst. Bolt missed his headbutt. Corbin then hit the end of days with the victory. Baron Corbin stays undefeated. Solid match. It lived up to my expectations. Let's go with that. I didn't have that much expectations for it, so it sort of landed where I expected it to go. If that makes any sense.
Kind of.
Well, then we had the girls. The girls were in action. And we had Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks taking on Charlotte and Natty in a really good match between all four women.
Yes. I need more of this. Need more of this.
Though I will say... Becky Lynch really looks awkward during Sasha's entrance.
She's trying so hard.
like, she's trying to be her rocker crazy chick as Sasha slowly saunters to the ring. It's sort of awkward, and, yeah. Like, Sasha walks up onto the side of the ring, and she saunters, and she does her little thing, and then Becky's sticking her head through it, trying to shake her hair around, like, oh my god, I'm a rocker chick, oh my god. Shake my head around, it just looks awkward.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So Team Bay took on Charlotte and Natty. Natty was in control of Becky early. We had a nice double baseball slide by Charlotte and Natty to both girls on the outside. Then we had a really nice stalling double vertical by the girls.
Yeah.
At that point, Sasha was able to take control of the matchup. She hit the big double stomping knee in the corner, which was really nice. Charlotte eventually got the hot tag. She took control. Natty took out Becky. Then Charlotte got pushed into the ropes. Sasha came back, hit a neck breaker, rolled her up with the tights, and got the win. That's right. I beat you, is what she said. Sasha and Becky pick up the win as she beat the NXT Women's Champion tonight.
With a little shenanigans, but yeah, she picked up the win, which is, as the announcers say, a win that Sasha needed. So, to keep her strong and keep her as a contender for Charlotte. So, yeah, this was a really, really great match. I need more of this.
Yeah, they didn't I wish they had, like 5 more minutes. But I know where the 5 more minutes went, and there's a good reason where that 5 minutes went, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But, yeah, good match. Sasha continues to be in contention for the Women's Championship. And then we get to our main event. And holy crap, on a crap stick. This was an awesome main event.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Zayn versus Neville. It's not going to be bad, but this was every bit as good as TakeOver was.
It was. Less drama, but really a really good competitive match between the two. They basically sort of at one point threw friendship out the window. As they sort of just... with aggressive shots on one another, and Sammy was like, I'm sorry, and they just sort of went at it.
Sometimes that's what you gotta do, you know?
Yeah. Neville hit a nice big dive on the outside, then we come back, and, you know, Neville's in control, but then Sammy's back and forth. Neville hits a big hurricanrana for a long 2 count. Refs started worrying about Sami Zayn. Did he injure his neck on that hurricanrana, because he wasn't seeming like himself. He then, with Neville showing a little bit of concern for his friend, Zayn locked in the coachee clutch, but Neville quickly got out of it. Zayn then hit a nice suplex, Neville rolled to the outside. Zayn went for the dive through the turnbuckles like he did at the takeover, but Neville stopped him. Neville went for a red arrow, Zayn moved, so he rolled through. Went for the huluva kick, Neville moved, rolled up 2 count, exploder suplex in the corner. He finally hit the huluva. 1, 2... 3, your winner and still NXT champion in an awesome main event on NXT, Sami Zayn.
Yay! And I love Sami's little graphic that he has in his video now, where it's the title and it's got the SZ in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome.
But yeah, this was a good show.
Good show, but we weren't done here.
No, we weren't.
So Zayn is celebrating, and you know, every time Sami Zayn's celebrating, KO, Kevin Owens, right there, and he attacked Sami Zayn, hit him with a powerbomb, stood on his throat, and then kicked the belt right at Sami Zayn, and well, that's how NXT ended. It was a good show.
It really was. I really liked it. It had a very nice pace to it. There were some great matches, and that's the thing about NXT, is it consistently delivers really, really good, strong matches. Every week they go out there and they put on the best show that they can.
Yes. So, that's our NXT recap. But now it's time to talk about a subject Lindsay's been wanting to talk about for a week and a half now. Hashtag save Rowan. I'm just going to sit back and let her go.
They fired Eric. Why did they fire Eric? I need to know. Like, he's a 5-year-old in a 34-year-old's body, and you fire the dude and turn him loose on the world. Like, what are you thinking? Like, they were saying, well, you know Eric Rowan is sitting at home watching this at home. Where the hell do you all think he lives? The dude lived in a swamp with Bray Wyatt wandering around in a sheet mask for, like, 3 years. What, you think Eric Rowan, the character, has a house somewhere? With a TV? Like, you think he's even capable of getting such things? Legally?
I don't think he knows how to get cable.
I was thinking more qualifying for either a loan or for a rental lease. But, yeah.
He probably has a tent in the woods.
Probably. Actually, no, he's probably in the old house because Bray left. Like, Bray and Luke split, so Eric just stayed in the house.
He still goes back to his room at night.
He still goes back to his room at night with Steve, and he cuddles Steve.
He cuddles Steve. He probably makes dinner for the family, waiting for the family to return, and they don't show up.
And he gets all sad.
So he has to pack up all the leftovers and put them in the refrigerator, so and then when the refrigerator gets full, he has to empty out the refrigerator full of the leftovers. And it's all depressing, because he made some great food. Not going to say what, because if I say it, you know, I'm not going to acknowledge it. He makes food.
He makes really good rabbit stew.
You don't kill the rabbit.
Hashtag rabbit stew.
Hashtag save the bunny.
No, I'm with JBL.
Anyway, continue.
So basically, this is kind of talking about Eric Rowan in particular and the fact that he got fired, obviously, in storyline and how they could bring Eric back. I liked on Raw, because when we came up with this topic, Raw had not obviously happened, so we can kind of now incorporate Raw. I liked how you didn't rush any of them back to TV. They are still off TV. It's a question of how they're going to get their jobs back, if they get their jobs back. You know, of course they will, but
in the end, they'll get their jobs back, but I don't think it should be anytime soon. If you actually want, if you want to give legitimacy to a storyline, you cannot bring them back for the Royal Rumble.
You can't, but they probably will.
They probably will, but you shouldn't. Just like Dean Ambrose shouldn't have been on TV till the Royal Rumble, doesn't mean they, you know, he wouldn't be, but anyway, but to make this storyline mean something, and that's what everyone's clamoring for, make something mean something, keep them off TV for a while. You got enough talent, you can find people to fill a spot and have them in the Rumble.
I miss Eric. But no, so basically we were kind of talking about, well, what would Eric in particular have to do to get his job back? And one of the things obviously was Cena makes the sacrifice to get Ryback and Ziggler and Eric their jobs back, which he doesn't do.
Yeah, John Cena doesn't make any sacrifice. All he did was compete in a match to get them their jobs back. He didn't give up his title match. He didn't give up his job to get other people's jobs. It's like, you look at John Cena, and his plan was, oh, I'm going to take the title and go walk away. It's like, that won't do anything. They have people they can bring up. They can strip you of your belt in 30 days. You walking out won't get Eric Rowan, Dolph Ziggler, and Ryback their jobs back. You do realize this, John. You should have had a better battle plan. And not being willing to sacrifice anything is kind of like, he should be the one sacrificing something to get these people's jobs back, but he doesn't seem willing to do that.
No, he really doesn't. He's like, oh man, that's a bummer, that sucks. So about my title match, you know, and it's sort of a dick move. And it's like, okay, fine, you want me to compete for their jobs? I'll compete for their jobs. And he lost. And so now Ziggler, Ryback, and Eric are all still unemployed. And one of the thoughts is that, you know, one or all or some turn on Cena and cost him the title match at the Royal Rumble.
Possibly. You could go like that. You could bring back a guy like Dolph Ziggler and have him being conflicted and have him come back and cost the title. It's like, I can see that, but that would be a bad move because right now Dolph Ziggler is at his hottest, so you really don't want to turn him, and you don't want to turn Ryback. The logical one is Eric, but we saw him cross the title last year, so that would sort of be a rehash.
Well, the thing is you could bring Eric into the Authority, and Luke is already there, and Luke could kind of control him.
Yeah, they can be the muscle. They can add more muscle to the Authority because, you know, the Authority doesn't need muscle. Or you can sort of have him find his way again.
Yeah, or you have Bray Wyatt either offer Eric or accept Eric back into the fold has Eric has failed on his own, and he's not taking the path that Bray likes, and so Bray's going to re-educate him in terms of what he should be doing and what path he should be following. Because if it's true and Bray's getting taker, Bray is going to need some kind of backup against taker. Whether it's Eric and Luke, whether it's just Eric, whether it's just Luke, you know, it's something that Bray will need backup against taker. He just will.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely need it because it's the Undertaker. Everyone needs backup against the Undertaker, but the Undertaker has some magic. And if you ever remember WWE 2K14, yeah, the Undertaker has goddamn magics. Goddamn his magics.
Well, you know, according to WWE Immortals, Bray Wyatt has a goddamn magical lantern.
Which, that game is addicting, by the way. If anyone has gotten yet, it's addicting.
By the way, I'm calling my shot now. That's going to be a storyline. They are going to make Bray Wyatt's lantern possessed. Technically, they already have. And you're going to have Steph and Hunter steal it from him, and that's going to turn into a storyline.
That's how they control Bray Wyatt.
That's how they control Bray Wyatt. Just saying. Calling my shot right now.
It's going to become the new Urn. Just point this out.
Well, kind of shifting, because, you know, let's finish Sabre on, and then we can talk about what we had sort of discussed earlier today.
We'll get there, yeah.
We'll get there. So basically, you know, the idea behind Eric is Eric goes to Bray. He's failed. He has nowhere to go. He has no friends. You know, he realizes that Cena is not the person he thought he was. He realizes that Ryback and Dolph are not. Basically, he has no friends.
Well, he doesn't. Everyone's talking about John Cena is Eric Rowan's fan. How's he his friend? Because they teamed up one, the one time they teamed up once, like, and then,
yeah, Cena did nothing to help him.
Right, Rowan helped Cena. He didn't help anyone. He didn't. Cena didn't help him. Cena didn't give him. You know, they teamed up what, once or twice, once on Tribute Troops and once on Survivor Series, and then the dude lost his job. Is he paying his bills? Is he buying him food? Is he, you know, is he putting him up in his San Diego mansion? Is John Cena letting him live in his guest house? Is that where Eric Rowan is? John Cena's not doing that. Eric Rowan's on his own. Eric Rowan needs help, people. He needs to be saved.
And, well, he has a father that can do that.
Right. His father could give him that home he needs. And it's just sort of something like, we've been disheartened by the breakup of the Wyatt family. It just sort of wasn't the right time to do. We understood the reasons for it, but it wasn't the right time. And if there was ever a time to, you know, sort of put Eric Rowan back... Alright, best way to put it, Eric Rowan's going to get lost in the shuffle at this point when he comes back, because so many other people are back, he's going to be lower on the totem pole, so he needs to be back with Bray Wyatt so he can be relevant on television again. And Bray Wyatt is always better with people behind him. He's been good on his own, but he seems more intimidating when he can talk the talk, and then he has guys to, well, watch his back, as it were.
Well, the whole thing is Bray Wyatt is a cult leader.
Yeah.
And he needs his followers, and he has the followers in the WWE universe with the Fireflies, but you get somewhat of a visual when he comes out, but once the lights come back up, that visual goes away. There's no way to really tell how many followers, you know, are in the audience throughout the match. And so it's something of, when, by having Luke and Eric there, it made him more convincing, because you had people that had bought his message, that had bought into what he was saying, and they were following him and hanging on his every word. And the Wyatt family breakup was really awkward. It didn't feel right. It still doesn't feel right. But I understand why they wanted to do it. They wanted to break Luke Harper out.
And they wanted to, if they were going to push Bray Wyatt, they wanted to push just Bray Wyatt as a single star.
Right. And that leaves Eric out in the cold. And they kind of, what is irritating is Eric was getting over as a babyface.
He was starting to pick up some steam, yes.
And the fans were taking to him. They were accepting him. Because basically he's this big, lovable dork.
He really is.
You know, that is Eric Rowan, who occasionally kicks people's asses. You know, he's just this big, lovable dork. And I loved the fact that he was wandering around backstage, discovering everything for, like, the first time, because it gives you an indication that Bray Wyatt never really let him do much of anything beyond what he was told to do.
Right. Like, the only one time when he was under Bray's control was when he was wandering around with the night with Michael Strahan. That was it.
Yeah, that was it. The rest of the time, Eric was with Bray, and he never really ventured very far. Now he has a whole world at his disposal, and he's checking it all out. I was really kind of half expecting that somebody would have adopted Eric.
We needed Bo to adopt Eric.
I wanted Paige to do it.
That too. And now that Paige is a good girl now? Yeah. Well, she's a good girl in you know, reaction-wise, I should say. But yeah, she could have adopted her, because, oh my god, the moment when them playing chess, holy crap, that was awesome.
But as it stands right now, that didn't happen, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen, so it's like you have to figure out a way to bring Eric Rowan back. And honestly, the easiest way to do it is to put him back with Bray.
Is
he realizes he failed. He realizes he can't do it on his own. He realizes he has no friends. And so he goes to the only person that he believes he can trust. And that is Bray Wyatt.
Right, and Bray Wyatt convinces the authority to let him have Eric Rowan.
And since Luke is already there, the family is technically back together.
Technically, yes. Technically.
Eric might take a little coaching.
He has to get used to his, you know, surrounding skin. He has to become a follower again. Though he really is still with the follower when he joined Team Cena, because he followed along. But technically, they never did sign that contract thing, so he, you know, there should be a loophole where they never actually signed a contract. But that's logics, and, you know, won't actually matter at the end of the day.
Hey, by logics, Taker never signed the match with Brock, therefore it was unsanctioned.
No, he did sign it. He signed it.
With Brock's blood?
That's a way to sign things. I'm just saying, that's a way to sign things. Blood is a form of right. It's a form of... It works.
If you say so. But yeah, kind of, it's just my thought process was when we decided to have this discussion last week was basically Eric Rowan goes back to Bray and begs Bray for his help or asks Bray for his help because it's too hard for him to do it on his own and he realizes he's failed. Because what it feels like to me in terms of the Wyatts now that they're splitting out is they're obviously pushing Bray Wyatt hard because they're trying to get him ready for Taker at Mania if Taker decides to work.
Yeah.
And in terms of Luke and Eric, it feels like it's like, oh yeah, we're going to break them out, we're going to push them. Well, they sort of stopped halfway through both their pushes, and Eric is still getting over. Like,
right.
If anybody is not benefiting right now, it's Luke. Luke's actually having a little bit of a hard time.
Yeah, he lost his belt, and he's doing the dirty work a little bit, but he's sort of not having the success, and they're growing, technically being featured in the main story right now, but not on television.
Right, so something of you reform the family, but maybe have Luke and Eric still be a little bit more distant from Bray.
Right, you rebuild the connection, whether they're on their own or not, just rebuild the bond, and when they need each other, they need each other. And that's what Bray Wyatt said in interviews, that the family's not broken up. They're just on their own for now. When family needs each other, their family always finds each other. And right now, Eric Rowan needs his family back.
I would agree with that.
So, there you go.
But yeah, we need to talk about WWE Immortals real quick. Because, yeah, I watched the opening to that. And I swear to God, that's a storyline in the making. Where basically you have Bray Wyatt, who has an evil lantern. And it gets stolen by Hunter and Steph, and I guess the whole point of the game is to get the lantern back from Hunter and Steph and close all the portals and shit that got opened or whatever. Which, personally, I think it would be a much more interesting game if you had Bray Wyatt pursuing his magical lantern, but that's just me.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I don't know what the story is. You just hit the thing really, really repeatedly and just beat people up. That's basically the story of the game so far. It's kind of fun. It's addicting.
I think everybody's okay with that, honestly.
Not going to lie. It's a WWE Mortal Kombat game. It's get it for your iPad, iPhone. You should get the game. It's free.
No, I don't need anything addicting, thank you.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Why don't you?
Because I have this show and I have Tumblr. I'm full on addicted things. Thank you.
You should get the game.
No, not getting the game.
Gonna have an evil rabbit hop into your phone and download it for you.
Nope.
Anyway, continue.
So, and this led to kind of an interesting question based on the fact that the lantern is kind of becoming, it seems like, the new urn.
Yes.
Where they're making those Taker references to it. We saw it at Hell in the Cell, where it had smoke billowing from it, and a spirit appeared over it, and it smokes every week, and now in the game it's referenced as a dark magic object that can open portals and whatnot. So they seem to be possessing Bray Wyatt's lantern with more and more magical powers, which makes it kind of his version of the urn. And it kind of led to an interesting discussion between Rock and I about, well, if you do the feud with Taker, what do you do the feud about? What can Bray possibly take from Taker that hasn't already been taken, and, you know, aside from his career, and that would be his power.
Yeah.
Where basically you have Bray Wyatt strip the Undertaker of his power, and that's how the Undertaker is retired, is he loses his power and he becomes mortal, in quotations, and he's forced to leave.
He sort of just becomes, hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
Mark Calloway, yeah. Because I think that would honestly be, I don't know, the best way to retire Taker is just have him become mortal.
Right, you just sort of, he becomes human and he just goes and he vanishes and he just becomes a normal man that roams our society looking for a home. Bray Wyatt can give him a home. No. He just becomes a normal human being. It would be the way to finish off the career, and it's like, because when he comes back, he's going to have to be normal. He can't be the Undertaker anytime, you know. He's got to break away from being the guy at some point, you would assume.
At some point, yeah.
And it would be an interesting way to sort of end it. I also threw out the scenario that, hey, you can bring, you know, you can build that all the way up to WrestleMania and have that's how you sort of have the Undertaker regain his powers and goes off that way. Either way, it sort of works. But the idea of Cap taking away his powers is sort of an interesting idea.
Well, because there for a while, Bray Wyatt, it was all about power, and I think he still is all about power. He's just not talking about it, and one way is to basically kick the Undertaker out of his spot and take it. And by getting the urn and stripping the Undertaker of his power, that gives Bray Wyatt more strength.
Right.
And it's something of, it would give Bray Wyatt the reputation of, that's the guy. It's like, Brock is the guy that beat the streak. Bray is the guy that put the Undertaker down.
Right.
And that's how you would have to reference it and book it, and that would give him a very defining victory over the Undertaker, which is something he needs, that big defining victory that he never got with John Cena.
The one that John Cena sort of screwed him out of? Yeah, that one.
He needs that victory, and so I would like to see that with Taker, if not obviously with somebody else, but yeah, that was just kind of the thought process behind it.
Yeah, so.
But anyway, I think we're done.
I think we are done.
It's all right, well, get to chilling.
Next week on this program, big interview, Jim Ross on this show, next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right at the start of the show. You don't want to miss
it. It's 25 minutes, y'all.
So he's kicking off the show next week. Jim Ross on this show kicks it off. Plus a Royal Rumble preview next week, NXT, and a little bit of SmackDown, all next week on the show. Big show. Big show. It's a slobber knocker. Check it out, The Rag. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Yesterday, we'll go back and finish the plug in a minute. The Rack X or Total Divas is available right now on RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com, Season 3, Episode 12. We'll have Episode 13 next week for everybody. Keep looking out for it. Saturday night... before I go to Saturday night, we need to talk about the Wrestling Radio Awards. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com, vote for Natalya on The Rack, Michael Kingston on The Rack for Media Interview of the Year, and Kane on The Rack for Mail Interview of the Year. WrestlingRadioAwards.com, vote for the Show of the Year if you choose The Rack. That's all up to you, but vote for the interviews, help us get into the finals, and that sort of thing. Tell your friends, do it once a day. Leave it in Saturday?
Yeah, I think so.
So get the voting, then we'll promise you, if we don't move forward, the pimping, if it stops. Anyway.
We swear.
We promise. anyway, WrestlingRadioAwards.com. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Follow that show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR on Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas. Use the hashtag Blame Rob, CBRadioLive.com, and yeah, go back and listen to last week's episode where Rob's going to go on the Family Feud. And for the few next few weeks, we're probably going to test him on Family Feud stuff because it's fun and exciting, and I like torturing them. Sunday night, if the internets work, Russell Talk Radio returns at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Royal Rumble entry contest, the drawing will take place on that show. If you want to like to enter, go to email media@wildtalkradio.com. Go to the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradio.org and tell us you want to enter. You can tweet us as well. So please get on that. We have some spots left. We want you to enter.
So wait, is that like, if the stars align and the internet's work, there will be a WTR?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. If they find the cosmic key, there will be a WTR on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night's the Raw Post Show, 11-10 p.m. Eastern. And then again, we'll be back next Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack with Jim Moss. Live right here on Wild Talk right now. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack. Facebook.com/WTR_Rack. YouTube.com/WTR_Rack. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. iTunes, Stitcher, Rack Radio Show as well. Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes and Stitcher. Same for TuneIn Radio for Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen on the go anywhere you are. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard. Same as the Twitter. And don't forget, y'all, next week, Jim Ross. Don't want to miss it. We talk to him about a lot of stuff. He gives us some really great insights. So if you're a fan of the business, if you're into the history of stuff, you're going to want to listen to this.
Plus football.
Just saying.
Before she continues, go to AXS.com. Buy tickets for ringside, an evening with Jim Ross, and an afternoon with Jim Ross for Royal Rumble weekend.
Yep, it's going to be awesome. Also, please vote for us at the Wrestling Radio Awards. Male Interview of the Year, Female Interview of the Year, Media Interview of the Year, and Show of the Year. Please, we promise, if we don't make it through the final round, we will stop pimping.
And if we do, she will make you...
Stop it. Throw something at you.
Bring it. Come on.
So, yeah. Anyway, ignore him. So anyway, big thanks to Seth Rollins and WWE for once again coming on and speaking with us. Great opportunity. Love to have him back. You know, get on that rock.
But I'm busy with something else.
Yeah, I know you are. I know what you're busy with. That's what's scary. So, and also, please don't forget to visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week.